You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk and show number 328. Today is Sunday, April 10th, and my name is Hamilton. No Steve tonight, but I am joined by the excellent Curtis. Curtis, how are you?
That's my wrestling name, actually. The excellent Curtis. I was tweeting with someone, and they were talking about how depressing the show was going to be tonight. And I said, even worse, Steve's not going to be there.
I know. I was going to make a joke that Steve was in hiding because he thought we were going to have a winning record this week. But Steve is away for the next 2 weeks. So don't despair, fellow listeners. Curtis, let's get to it, though. But first, before we get started, I want to make a quick announcement about an exciting development here at the show. So, Curtis, in August, we will have been doing this show for 10 years. Wow. 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah. And we're shaking things up a bit, and we're going big time. We're now a member of the Blog Talk Radio Network. It's a platform for lots of different types of podcasts, both in sports and baseball and everything else. And we are a proud member of that. You can check it out at www.blogtalkradio.com. And this will not change how you get the site. You'll still be able to get it through iTunes and all the traditional means. But now you can also go there, get our show, and check out a lot of other awesome podcasts. It also means that we picked up some sponsors for our show, which is very exciting for us 10 years in.
So, and for our wives.
Yes, finally.
We're monetizing it.
Yes, exactly. Big time. So you may hear an ad here or there, but take solace in the fact that we're either buying our wives gifts or getting Zantac for Curtis. Anyway, so yeah, check out blogtalkradio.com when you get a chance, but you can still find us at www.atlantabaseballtalk.com. Follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and check out our Facebook page. And as always, if you know someone who is a Braves fan or a fan of awesome podcasts or both, tell them about the show. So Curtis, down to business. Tonight, let's discuss the strangely regular lineup for most of the week. We'll visit our hopes and doubts for the team based on 1 week of performance. I use performance in air quotes.
And that 1 week, it's W-E-A-K.
Yes. Yes, exactly. A week. And then we will also check in on the last opening day at Turner Field and how we're feeling about that. But first... Let's look at the good and the bad of the first week. And we didn't win a game this week, so I think there's going to be a lot of bad. But I do think there are a few bright spots. So let's look at the pitching, the relieving, starting pitching, the relievers, and the batters. And let's start with starting pitching, Curtis. So who was your bright spot, if you can find one, this week for starting pitchings? And who was starting pitchings? And who was your not so bright spot?
A lot of these were tough to come up with bright spots, frankly. I went with Bud Norris mm-hmm. as my bright spot with the starting pitching. He had a pretty good game, and frankly, Pierzynski let him down. He dropped that would-be third out at home that would have gotten him out of that inning. They charged the error to Freeman, which was sort of ridiculous, And then he ended up giving up three runs, and they lost that game 3-1. So Tehran had a good start, his first start, which they also blew, but he was really bad in his second start. Whistler, I think, was kind of the same. It seemed like, or maybe he only had one start. He was good for a little while, and then he kind of fell apart.
Same thing. No, he had a bad fourth. So he had a three-run fourth where we gave him a good lead, and he gave it away. But he went 6 2/3, so at least he stayed in the game.
So really, I'm kind of going into the negative aspect of this quickly, but Bud Norris, that's the guy that I sort of penciled in as our lone bright spot with the starting pitching.
Yeah, I agree. For all the same reasons. I mean, he looked really good until that Freeman error, quotes. And I was surprised, and I think that he's if he can do that for us this year, and we can back him up, and hopefully he's not that Braves pitcher who's the hard luck Braves pitcher. He could have a good season for us.
And who's to know that if he doesn't give up those runs and gets through that inning, that the bullpen didn't blow it for him anyway. So
yeah, that's fair. Who was your the worst?
I just went with Williams Perez. I mean, it's probably not fair that he had one start, but it was a really they could have used a really good start from him, and he was really shaky today. So, but Tehran had a terrible start, his second start. So it kind of can go around, but I just decided I was going to throw Williams Perez under the bus because of the bad start he had today.
I agree. He has to go over five innings, right? You know, even if it's only a week with five games in it, so it's not a full workload like the one we have coming up, you have to go more than five innings, especially on a Sunday. It's just going to kill you over the course of a season. So, you know, he only gave up three hits. He did have three walks, but four earned runs over 4 2/3 is bad. So, but, you know, small sample size. So let's looking at relievers. You know, for me, I'll start the horrible irony, and I hope this is not some marker of how the Braves season is going to go, is that by far, I'd say the MVP of the week was Daniel Winkler. Looking great, and then Vizcaino looked good too as far as reliever goes, but then he fractures his elbow today, which I hear is not a good injury if you're a pitcher.
Yes.
So that's not good. That's not good, but he was great. I mean, he was great, and you know, Vizcaino looked good. He didn't have as many chances, and then here or there, some guys looked good, but consistently across the week, it was Winkler, and what a blow to lose him.
Yeah, I had Winkler down too, and really the same thing. Vizcaino looked good in his limited appearance, but the Winkler story is just it's terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's coming back from a Tommy John. He missed basically all of last season, and that might be that you know he just hasn't pitched so much, and you come and you put a lot of stress, a lot of torque on your arm, and this has happened before. But they were saying today, which makes some sense, that it might be better that it's a break. I mean, that sounds crazy, but that it isn't a tendon or a ligament or something like that, and that maybe the recovery isn't quite as long, and maybe he can come back from that. But, I mean, we've seen guys that Tony Saunders was a pitcher that, it happened to him a couple of times where he broke his arm pitching, and finally he had to retire because it ruined his career. So hopefully that's not the same. Yeah. With Winkler. It's terrible.
It's
really
horrible. I feel so bad. I mean, for him, definitely. And for the Braves as well. You know, and besides Winkler and Vizcaino, like we both said, you know, the bad spots for me were everyone else. Grilly. Yeah. I mean, Grilly got tagged. Jose Ramirez got blown up. EOF had some rough outings. Jim Johnson, everyone.
Yeah, Gant was mine, and he got sent down. EOF has a whip of 6.
Yep.
I mean, that doesn't even seem humanly possible.
Well, but, especially as a reliever. I mean, that's – or any pitcher, but yeah, that's not
– Well, in DOB, when you guys interviewed him, I mean, he made the point that there are reasons that EOF was available.
Yeah.
You know? He's not the pitcher that we was before. And I think that we're just going to have to – would live with what this is. I mean, this is just a bad
a nightmare. I mean, there's not enough bad. It's one weekend. I understand that, but it's not a surprise that this week happened. I think we all knew it. DOB knew it. It is a byproduct of the strategy that we're taking, that we're going to have a bad bullpen for a while, but it is a horror show, you know, and it does. And I guess there's maybe some of these guys who are – we have so many arms that some obviously will go to the pen instead of being starters. But right now, I don't see how we sort this out. It's bad. It's bad. And I think it's going to be a theme throughout the season. We're one week in, and it's already – I'm already using language like horror show. All right.
Well, so, and the crazy thing was – sorry to cut you off, but I saw some pictures of the stadium today.
Yeah.
And I mean, it could not have been a more beautiful day in Atlanta. Yeah. And we're five games in. It's a Sunday afternoon game. There was no one.
Oh, yeah.
No one.
I had the game on Friday night, and my wife came in and said, "Why isn't there anybody there?" Friday night against the Nationals.
Right.
All right. So let's take a look at the other side of the plate then. So for you, Curtis, which batter do you think was good this week and not so good?
It's your boy, Adonis Garcia.
Yes.
He's like the only guy on the team that's actually managed it. And, you know, it's funny because you said something about the offense and somebody on Twitter said something about the offense, like that they're better. The offense is terrible. Oh, yeah.
Just to be clear, that was Steve. Steve and DOB think that we're going to score a lot more runs because the offense is markedly better than it was last year. And I don't know if I fully agree with that.
Yeah. So Garcia, other than the Stubbs home run today, which bounced him up into the RBI total, Adonis Garcia was basically leading the team in hits, home runs, RBI, base on balls. I mean, across the board, he is our best offensive piece. And that's just so sad and pathetic.
It's great for him.
Although Marquez had a great day today. So I should, because he was awful this spring, and he has come out and actually is having a very good offensive start.
Yeah,
so
three doubles today, four doubles for the week. He almost had a homer. We'll get to that with our shot in the dark, Steve's shot in the dark. But yeah, no hits on Monday, but then he hit in every game for the rest of the week. So I agree, Marquez was really good, but Adonis was the man. Who was the worst spot for you offensively?
If I can say everyone, I circled, and this is sort of lazy, but all these old guys, the bench players, the guys that, you know, we really kind of were hoping were going to be provide to us what Kelly Johnson did last year, what Pierzynski did last year, what Frenchie did for the Phillies last year. And I know a bunch of these guys have really not had many plate appearances at all, but just no production. AJ's batting 083. Beckham just had his first hit. Frenchie has no hits. Kelly Johnson has no hits. Jace Peterson's batting 091. Freddie Freeman's batting 125.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just abysmal.
It is abysmal. I agree with everything you said. I picked Peterson with Freeman a close second. But Peterson, you know, 4 Ks, no walks.
He needs to be sent down.
That's my question. Is
and I don't mean to be like negative or say the guy should be. I mean, he needs to be playing in Gwinnett. He is not a major league player at this moment.
No.
They have. I would rather he get confidence and be in Gwinnett, kind of finding his stroke rather than being up here and being a guy who's hitting 091. I mean, he's 1-for-11 this year. He has 4 strikeouts. He is a void. And I would frankly rather it be Kelly Johnson or something. And I mean, because this season means nothing. And if we're going to start all these old dudes and kind of dudes that aren't going to be doing anything long-term for this team, then I would rather Jace be down there and, you know, because he has the ability to be sent down, do it now.
Do it now, because he's overpowered at this level right
now.
He can't work on anything.
Totally.
So that's the trifecta there: the batters, the bullpen, and the starting pitching. Just any other general thoughts, Curtis, on this week, good or bad?
This is getting way ahead of where we are, but I have to, I mean, I'm honestly, this whole process is put into really kind of one guy's hands. And he has also been the person that's gone on and evaluated a lot of this talent that we've had to bring in. And I know they're doing this on a shoestring budget, and they're really having to rely on guys that frankly wouldn't be playing for any other team in Major League Baseball right now. But does any of this, I mean, we saw all the guys that they brought into camp, all the non-roster invitees and things like that. They had to cut so many of those guys. They have only one left-handed reliever on this team. And all these guys that I just mentioned that they brought in and re-signed, frankly, they're terrible. Mm. Does this give you any pause about Coppy's ability to evaluate talent?
I'm giving him wide berth at this point.
And I know this is super early, and I'm just making a conversation here. But, you know, I'm not super impressed with what we've seen on a major league level from him.
I think I hear you. The early returns are certainly not the most glowing, but I think in this league now, and it's the truth in the NBA, it's harder to fool people with moves and signing players, and like everybody knows who all the players are. It's harder to do that. So, and you couple that with the fact that the job that Coppy has in front of him is pretty tough. I mean, he's getting out from underneath the UGLA and the BJ and all those bad signings, trading away the farm system. It's a tough challenge in a hard environment to really stand out. And so, I don't know. I agree with what you're saying, but I'm not going to make a final judgment on Coppy based on that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not suggesting that there is no chance, but these are starting to be some things that are kind of like, if the dike is starting to leak, I'm seeing more cracks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a long season, my friend. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm not suggesting that, like you said, there was any way that they were putting together a roster that was going to be functional. I mean, this is a bad Gwinnett team that we're watching, frankly, except for maybe three or four pieces. I mean, really, there's only three or four guys on this entire roster that maybe only one or two that would start for another team. And there's probably only five on the whole roster that perhaps would be on Major League. I mean, a lot of these guys, Frenchie, Beckham, these guys were not getting deals with anyone.
We were their last stop. Yeah.
It was. And there's some guys in the bullpen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just you always look forward to opening day. Anything's possible. And I think there were some ifs out there that we discussed. And we had some potential. And maybe the offense was better. And the way this week sort of started and then finished or progressed and then just unraveled today, it feels like we're going to have a really, really long season. And that's disappointing. You know, early deflation of, you know, you have early optimism in the spring, and it went pretty quickly for me. I lost a lot of it this past week. Anyway, Curtis, let's move on to fair or foul. All right, fair or foul. So this is where I say something and we agree with it, fair, or disagree with it, foul. And we got two of them this week, Curtis. So let's start with this. So until Inciarte left the game on Friday, and quickly on this is UGG 2.0. So he is day-to-day with a sore left hamstring, an injury that he sustained in Wednesday's game, and then aggravated in the first inning of Friday's game. He did miss 30 games last season due to the same injury. So, you know, that's something to feel good about. Anyway, until he got hurt this weekend, Freddie ran out the same lineup for three games in a row. Unprecedented. Of Inciarte, Ibar, Akbar for Steve, Freeman, Garcia, Marquecas, Oliveira, Pierzynski, Peterson, and the pitcher. So, Curtis, fair or foul, you think that this is the best lineup that Freddie can put together given what he's got?
Other than Jace Peterson, we just touched on him. I think that there are better options than him currently. But the rest of it, this is, you guys talked about it last week, that a lot of this has now been taken out of Freddie's hands. I mean, this is a pretty straightforward lineup. And it's almost, in the batting order, it's almost lined itself up pretty straightforwardly as well. So I would say, again, other than Jace Peterson, and I know that they're obviously five games in, they're going to let him have time to try and figure it out at this level. I can't imagine a move is coming, especially with the stuff that they just sort of went through. They did say that they were bringing Malik Smith up, which I was surprised that they weren't going to bring up what's his face that they just re-signed. That's pathetic. We should do a podcast about the Braves. The guy that was supposed to have the last spot that was competing with Frenchie for the last spot.
Oh, my God. Lord, I'm blanking on
Jesus,
it, too.
Fire me. Where's Steve?
Yes, Steve. Don't
him.
Listen.
But he can also play infield. So I was kind of shocked that they were not bringing him up. But fair to belabor this point to the point where now I sound like a total
jag. Just to demonstrate who, and this person's name will come to both of us in a little bit. You know, I agree with you. whoever, whether it was Peterson or not, I would still have Kelly Johnson at that same slot. I wouldn't change the order. I would just slot him in. You know, maybe if Markakis and Oliveira get a little bit more pop in their game, maybe favoring the matchup, maybe you move Garcia out of the fourth hole. But I agree. But I'm not. I really don't know how much longer you can. I mean, Peterson is not our everyday second baseman. Are we at that point now? We're at that point now, right? He can't be our everyday second baseman.
I don't get it.
Yeah. All right. So second one. So, Curtis, we've now seen five games against two of the better teams in the NL, and we talked a lot about this in our opening bit. But fair foul, you want to now adjust your projected wins total for the season from our bets from last week.
Well, the last time the Braves started 0-5 was a great year for you and I, Ham. It was the year we graduated from high school, 1988.
Woo!
The Braves started 0-10 that year, which, looking at the road trip they have coming up, is a distinct possibility. Do you have any idea what they ended up that year?
In 88. Oh, I think
I'm pretty sure you and I did not go to a lot of games in 1988 to watch the
Braves. I think I went to a Cardinals game. I remember that, but anyway, I digress. Yes.
54. They went 54-106. Can you imagine?
Yes. I think
so. Yeah. To the point. And to go back to these guys telling us that they were going to win something like 20 more games this year or whatever it is, whatever that line they were feeding us. I don't even remember what I told you guys to put in for me last week. I can't remember, but it was in the 60s, I believe.
Yeah. You were at 67. And I think you were at 69. I was at 67.
Okay. Well, then I'll go with what you have.
Yeah. I'm with you. So, fair. I do. I want to adjust mine. I think I'm thinking low 60s. I can't bring myself to say 50s yet, but you look at every other team, and I hate that this is the tone of our first show of the season. We're outclassed, and we have question marks now and injuries the first weekend. Inciarte, Winkler, we're so thin. We have no real identity. I think it's going to be one of those seasons like 88. It could be that bad. It could be that bad.
Well, your margin for error is almost non-existent. So you have starting pitching, which doesn't really go that long, and sometimes the shaky is not the best thing. You have defense, which is not very good. You have offense, which is not very good. Hopefully it gets better, but it's not that good. And your bullpen, frankly, stinks. Somebody sent Ben Ingram sent out a text, which one of our great listeners, Matthew Pike, retweeted, but a tweet that the this kind of sums up the first week. The Braves team ERA after the sixth inning is 10.6. They've been outscored 21-2 from the seventh on. So there's a couple of reasons why you are 0-5. I mean, and people, when I, you know, I tweeted that you and I were arguing about if the Braves could get better, and people were saying, oh, well, you know, they had leads in four of the five games and stuff like that. But this is kind of going to be what this season is. Yeah, they didn't start off the bat and get blown right out. These kind of games got away from them. At least these last couple of games that they lost by big margins were late. But if you look at what this is, I mean, I wrote down some of these numbers. They're awful. Batting average, 29th. Hits, 28th. Runs, 26th. RBIs, 26th. Home runs, 24th. Slugging, 28th. ERA, 28th. Home runs, 8th. Base on balls, 4th. Average, 26th. Whip, 28th.
Make it stop.
Hit batsman, 4th. Fielding, 29th. Errors, 4th. There's your Braves after one week.
Oh, it's only five games. Oh, that was hard to listen to.
Yeah.
Maybe horror show wasn't too extreme at the top of the show. All right, Curtis, so let's do a quick short hop here. Not fair or foul, but it just to get your thoughts. So Monday was the last opening day at Turner Field, we've seen many great opening days at Turner Field, not some not so great ones. And the Braves have done some interesting things to to celebrate it. Obviously, Bobby and Chipper were out there on opening day. That was great.
Vince Dooley.
They've had different people come and do the countdown, you know, where they rip the number off, counting down from the 81. So I guess, Curtis, two parts of this. You know, are you feeling sentimental, or, you know, do you feel like you have enough of a connection with Turner Field to miss it? And, you know, do you like the way the Braves are handling the transition?
I am not all that sentimental about Turner Field, because Turner Field really doesn't hold many memories. The success was not there at Turner Field, I guess. They didn't win a lot of postseason games there. I don't know that they won any postseason series since they've moved to Turner Field. That might be inaccurate, but I feel like I'm going to stick with that and go with it.
You should do a podcast.
Yeah. you know, and it's so lame duck. It would be one thing, like with Fulton County, if they were moving to a stadium next door. But the fact that they're moving out of town, basically, it's just so lame duck. And the fans are not going to be there, so it's not going to be celebratory. It's not going to be exciting. The team's going to be awful. Nobody's going to be there. And it's just kind of whimper. And, you know, it's not going to be a cool send-off for a stadium that, you know, when it started as the Olympic Stadium, there was so much excitement about it and everything else. And I think it's a beautiful park. I guess they're just trying to have something for fans to get excited about. And this countdown is the thing, but it almost seems like, you know, the countdown toward, hey, Christmas is coming and we're going to celebrate the fact that we never have to play here again because we get to move to our new shiny place. So,
yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like, you know, if it, under different circumstances, it would be bittersweet if we'd had a long storied run here and it was crumbling. I even though the Olympics were important to me, I never felt a good connection to Turner Field. I'm totally agreeing with you there. And nobody wanted to move. Except, I mean, it didn't. So it doesn't feel happy. It feels bittersweet, and so all of the ceremony around it feels a little forced and contrived to me. It's nice to see Vince Dooley out there or whatever. It's hard to get excited by it. I mean, I don't know what I would want them to do differently. You know, sadly, take a brick out everything, or, you know, every game or something like that, and be somber about it. But I. It's hard for me to feel any emotion about this move from Turner Field.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe if we had won a World Series there or something, it would be different. But it really, there were some cool things that happened at Turner Field, but none of them really involve, like, you know, the things that you would want to celebrate. I mean, like Randy Johnson's perfect game and Brooks Conrad's three errors and things like that. I mean, there's just the infield fly. I mean, there's so many things that are attached to Turner Field that kind of ring up sort of the disappointment that has been the Braves, even the success that's gone with the Braves, the disappointing postseasons. A lot of that seems to kind of ring through. Emilio Bonifacio. God.
Did that come to you just waxing about the old Braves?
All the things that really have no relevance towards success for the, like, future of the Braves.
That's how important Turner Field is to you. That while you were talking about it, you still had enough brain space to think about Emilio Bonifacio.
So, yeah.
All right, Curtis. So, shot in the dark. And so, last week, we were so excited about the season starting and us getting to do our shot in the darks. We forgot to ask for our listeners' shots in the dark. So before we even check in on the status of this week or next week, submit your shots in the dark via Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk using the hashtag ABTSITD for what do you think your shot in the dark of the week will be. And we will pick one before the first pitch of the game, the first game of the week. And have a lot of fun with it. So, Curtis, last week, We all were wrong. Sorry to bury the lead or
spoil. I
wasn't
wrong.
You said that Oliveira would hit below 225.
What did he end up with?
267.
Oh, really?
Yes.
God. What? I don't know who I was looking at today. Maybe everybody else on the team.
Maybe everybody else. No, he finished up 267. He had an okay week. No real clutch hits. But he looked good at the plate. He actually took a four-pitch walk from Strasburg, which I wasn't sure I saw correctly. Steve said that Markakis would hit homer. And like I mentioned earlier, he was so close today, but not a homer. I said that Oliveira would hit a homer, and he did not. So we were all wrong. So that's our karma for not involving our listeners in our shots in the dark. We were all wrong. So let's talk about the week ahead, Curtis. What is your shot in the dark for the week ahead?
I'm going positive.
Okay.
Despite all the negativity that I've just dumped on to poor listeners for this show, Freddie Freeman breaks out. This is his week when he starts hitting. He bats over 300 with three doubles.
Wow. Nice. I'll take it. I think Garcia is going to hit two homers this week. Is that enough of a shot in the dark after his first week?
After his spring and...
Yeah. You know, I will say he's going to hit 285 with two homers for Garcia.
All right. I will also take that.
Okay. Yes, I will take anything that we just discussed. All right, so let's take a look at the week ahead. It's a long week, so seven games this week instead of our five games from last week. We have four at the Nats and three at the Marlins. And so I think this short week threw a lot of teams off. It certainly threw off the MLB probable pitchers page, so I don't have a lot here. But we do have Bud Norris versus Max Scherzer.
Jules Chaiken is coming up.
Monday, yeah. And then Jules Chaiken, Ulys Chacin, will go up against Gio Gonzalez. And then it's not listed against who the national starters are. I think it would be Strasburg if you follow their rotation the way they started it. Whistler, again, is going for us. And then nobody's been listed for Thursday. So it's either Rourke or the other guy for the Nats, and probably Tehran for us. I think it'll probably be Tehran for us. Anyway, for the weekend, none of the pitchers are announced. So I think we get Wei-Yin Chen and probably Jose Fernandez and Adam Conley. I try to do a little bit of math to see if we would get who we would get. So that's who we're facing. And I bet we will get, we'll get Norris. We'll get Perez and
Losses is what we're going to get.
We're going to get a lot of losses. We're going to get a lot of losses. So anyway, Curtis, your predictions for the week.
2-5. 1-3, 1-2.
Yeah, I had the exact same thing, and it feels optimistic. It feels more like I want that to happen and to be happy with it than what's really going to happen. But we will see. All right, Curtis. So that's the show. Woo! What a first week.
Please listen to more shows.
We are going to be so happy next week, no matter what happens. So remember, you can now find us on blogtalkradio.com, but you can still find us on iTunes and on Stitcher. You can still follow us on Facebook. You can still follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk. And you can always visit us at www.atlantabaseballtalk.com to listen to all of our shows, to read our blog, and to post a comment. So thanks again for listening, everybody, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at atlantabaseballtalk.com.